I know that walking is something that's very important to you. What impact does that have on your music?
Well, anytime you can exercise and do an exercise that you enjoy, it produces endorphins, as you know. So I walk, and quite often after my walks, which are 5 miles at a time, I walk approximately 20 miles a week. And after my walks, a lot of times I go into my study, into my studio at home, and I immediately sit down and I just start writing things because I'm so revved up just from the sheer amount of oxygen that I have in my blood. So it has a direct effect on everything. I'm a morning person. A lot of people think that musicians are nocturnal. I can be either or, but I prefer the morning. It's more of a natural rhythm. Sun's coming up, I'm getting up, you know? And it's like you're just right in tune with the movement of the planet. So I like to get up, stretch a bit, go out, do my walk, have my dialogues with my friends, and I come back and I do my work. And generally by 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I've already worked for like 5 or 6 hours, where most people sometimes are just getting up. So I find that I've been able to do a lot more work, I'm more productive, and I just basically feel better health-wise.
I think that the openness that you talk about kind of lends itself to chamber music. Your music has a very chamber-like feel, and I know that you've done some performances with chamber music societies. Mm-hmm. Do you consider your music to be chamber music with improvisation?
Well, jazz is chamber music. By definition, chamber music is music with a small number of musicians in an intimate setting and without a conductor. That's a definition of chamber music.
And but so, does the term chamber music, how does that resonate with you? Do you mind the term? Do you like the term? Would you use that term to describe your music?
I wouldn't, but certainly some writers have. Some people have described it as chamber jazz because of the fact that we don't have a piano and just the nature of the instruments that I play. I think sometimes it's the space in it that gives it that kind of feeling. But you can call it what you will. I enjoyed the concerts that I've done that have been sponsored by primarily, you know, promoters and presenters who do European chamber music. They have string ensembles and trios and things of that nature. Those things have been very, very well attended for me. And I received a grant actually from Chamber Music America for their New Works program and presentation program that they have had for the last few years. I received that grant for the 2001-2002 cycle. And that helped to introduce me to a lot of presenters that I wouldn't have met ordinarily, which is great because what's important to me now is that I can present my music in situations where the audiences are there specifically to listen to the music. And the presenters that I've worked with, they've given me that. Just yesterday, I had a concert in Pasadena that was sponsored by the great organization that's right here in Los Angeles, known as the Camera Society. And they present chamber music concerts throughout the Los Angeles area in historic sites. So we played in the wind tunnel yesterday. That was quite an experience, you know. But prior to that, last year, they also gave me an engagement to perform, and we performed in Hollywood at the Egyptian Theater. But again, it was perfect for what I really want to do in terms of the way I want to present what I do. And that's in a situation where there's no cashiers going on, there's no waitresses trying to get you to do the minimum drink thing. There's none of that, and people are there just to listen.
On your new album, yeah, you play bass clarinet, tenor sax, alto flute, and also piano.
And soprano
as well. Mm-hmm. But in many people's mind, you're known as primarily as a bass clarinet player. What do you bring to the various instruments? What do they allow you to express?
Well, each instrument is like having a different paintbrush with a different color. And the range on the bass clarinet is enormous. So I not only have the lower end of the sound spectrum, I also have the extreme high end of it. And so that gives me a lot of latitude in terms of what I can do with it. And it's a sound that's not overly exposed. You just don't hear it that much. I mean, you hear it, but it's usually in context with other instruments, and you might not even know what it is. But when it's used as a solo instrument and it's the primary focus of some melodic thing that's going on, I think it's absolutely intriguing. And people will enjoy it because it's low frequency. So much of the music that we hear today, especially via the radio, it's all high frequency stuff. There's no undertones. There's no real fundamental that's down there. So the fact that the bass clarinet is a lower voice, it's just it has a very welcoming quality to it. It has that power to pull people in. So I use it a lot, and on this new project, it's quite a few pieces that feature the bass clarinet. Because I am more well known for the bass clarinet than I am the tenor, or the soprano, with a lot of people, because some people are just coming into my work, so they don't know that I recorded Headhunters or any of those other things with Lee Morgan and McCoy Tyner. They don't know about any of that. They've heard the bass clarinet on my project, and some of them are now discovering Bitches Brew, which there was no saxophone on that, not by me. That was Wayne Shorter. So it's kind of nice that somehow things have turned in the way that they have, and I've been able to establish my own identity.
It's been 7 years since the release of your last album, Driving While Black. Why such a long time in between albums?
It's important that you find the right situation for your music. And more musicians are becoming independent. So this production, I did it with my own money. I wrote all the music, I hired the musicians, I hired the studio, and I produced it myself. And I think that's what you have to do. You know, I had an opportunity that looked like an opportunity to record for a smaller European label. But as it turned out, when we started really getting down into talking about the business aspect of it, the people that I was talking to, they absolutely just flaked on me, which made me decide, okay, this is it. No more record labels. I can forget about them. Because I've had my share of opportunities, so to speak. People come and they say, well, we're interested in what you want to do. But they weren't interested in what I wanted to do. They were interested in having me do something that they had in mind.
Well, how is Cryptogrammophone different then? Why did you choose Cryptogrammophone to release this album?
Well, I was familiar with Cryptogrammophone, of course, because they are locally located here in the Los Angeles area. I had listened to some of their projects, and I had the good fortune to be involved in one of their projects, which was the project that was done by Great Dark Owls. He called me up and he says, look, I'm doing a recording for this label, and I want you to come and play on one of my tracks. And, you know, he's my buddy. I said, sure, I'd love to. So I came and I played on the track. And then he had some other CDs from the label. And he said, hey, listen to this, listen to that, you know. And I started listening and I realized that Cryptogrammophone was dealing specifically with the music of artists that no one else cared about. Really, guys who were creating incredible music and doing what they really wanted to do without having it have any kind of commercial considerations. So when I presented my music to Jeff at Cryptogrammophone, he was very interested in it. So I gave it to him, and then he replied promptly, I guess maybe a week or so later, and says, hey, maybe we can do something with this. But at that time, I was looking around, so I said, well, maybe we can. But I continued to kind of explore to see what was out there for me. And as it ended up, everything that I found just ended up not being what I was interested in. And he was the only one who came to me really genuinely interested in working out some kind of a deal structure so that we can make it work. And that's how I ended up here. And I realized, you know, totally, it's the best place for me to be, in a place where someone genuinely cares about the music.
Thank you very much, Benny, for talking with us today.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.